Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Well, thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Let's Face the Issues broadcast today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're looking forward to having a great show together today. You're invited, by the way, to call in 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Join in the dialogue and the discussion at any juncture during the course of this broadcast. Your listening participation is part of the purpose for this broadcast program each day. Before we get into the monologue today, let me invite you to worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. Our Sunday school Bible study hour on Sunday mornings at 9:30. The worship service on Sunday mornings at 10:45 and Sunday afternoon at 7 o'clock. We'd love to have you join with us on any of those occasions for opportunity to get into the Word of God each Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church. We've met you by way of radio. We'd love to meet you in person and have you to worship with us Sunday morning Bible study, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship, or even on a Wednesday afternoon for a fellowship meal and Bible study time where we have questions and answers on occasion. Some of the questions you might have about Bible, about theology and doctrine that we'd be delighted to talk about. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority and the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, ladies and gentlemen, the only way we can know the truth is we continue in the Word of God. Outside the Word of God, there's relativism and what we think and what we have a philosophy or an ideology on, but the Word of God is the fountainhead of truth. This is the reason Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about a subject today that's a kind of a continuing subject in relationship to the Parkland, Florida high school shooting, but it's a little different perspective. I want us to think about today the subject, the real story of the Florida shooting, the real story of the Florida school shooting. There is a real story there, and I want us to do what I call a trickle-down, reverse pyramid, taking the broader subject and narrowing it down to the focus of what we want to talk about. But as you know, if you've turned on television, listened to radio any in the past 2 weeks, you know we continue to hear all kinds of experts, they're called experts, experts telling us the cause of the Parkland, Florida shooting, and where in that shooting, 17 students were murdered by a 19-year-old former student at the school. We all fully understand, and I believe we realize what some call the obvious faults or problems that triggered this particular event that brought about the massacre. Let's just go down some of what some are saying, and I'll not elaborate on each of them because I'm getting to a point of what I call the real story, or as Paul Harvey used to call it, the rest of the story. Let's think about it for a moment. Some are saying the guns are the problem. Oh, yeah. A gun surely must be the real problem, according to the liberal experts today. And I call them liberal. Notice the emphasis, experts, because each time there's a shooting or a massacre of any type, the experts on the left, the socialist, liberal, communist party in America, jump on to wanting to ban guns in America. So some experts say it's the guns. The law enforcement personnel did not actually quickly act quickly enough. Well, did that happen? Yes. We know now four armed police officers with weapons drawn stood outside the building while the shooting occurred and did nothing. we must ask the question, why? I think a little later in this broadcast, you'll understand some of the reason why. We're going to talk about that extensively. Some say it's the lack of school security. Yep, that's exactly right. Just one officer on duty, several buildings on the campus, 3,200 students, an impossibility to police, patrol, and protect the students in that setting. Some then say the problem was, and I think this is a part of it, that the security cameras were not actually on actual time. The security cameras were some 20 minutes off, I believe, is the statement made by some of the experts on the subject. Perhaps an order to stand down was given. We don't know. It's being investigated now. Did the sheriff's department instruct the police officers to stand down? I personally think so. And I think by the time this broadcast is over, you'll see why I think so. Then there are those that say, well, the sheriff did not act with some 39 to 40 different calls and complaints about this student and his threats to shoot up a school over a two-year period of time, from 2016 to the time the shooting took place. Some 39 to 40 calls had gone out to the sheriff's office with complaints. In fact, I believe some 20 to 25, 29 cases where sheriff's deputies actually visited this student's home because of a telephone call on an emergency basis that they need to go out. Some are saying then, we're talking about what the experts say and some of the trickle-down, that I call it, events that are, if you please, surrounding this shooting. The school did not have proper security. The doors were not locked, and so therefore anybody could get in. Well, some of the doors were locked, some of them were not. Now we're told and informed of a much more serious issue regarding the Broward County Police and the policy of the Sheriff's Department. Here's an article that I find absolutely frightening, ladies and gentlemen. The title of the article says, how federal funding kept Nicholas Cruz from getting arrested, allowing him to purchase firearms. Listen as I read you some blurbs from this extensive article. The net is widening in Broward County, ensnaring those who failed to stop Nicholas Cruz from killing 17 people. The Broward County School District's highly touted PROMISE, that's P-R-O-M-I-S-E, an acronym, a PROMISE program initiated in 2012 and signed into policy in 2013, is coming under fire. The policy prevented Nicholas Cruz from getting arrested, which could have blocked him from purchasing his armor if convicted, end quote. In 2011 and 2012, the school year, Broward County Public Schools had the highest number, listen, 2011 and 12 had the highest number of school-related arrests in the state of Florida. They had a number of 1,062 arrests on the campuses, highest number in the state of Florida. And then comes in the newly hired superintendent of school, Robert. His name is Robert Runcis, R-U-N-C-I-S, Runcis, with strong connections to the Obama administration. Red flags ought to go up all over the nation. With connections to the Obama administration, he teamed up with community organizers and organizations like the NAACP, local law enforcement, and government agencies to sign the collaborative agreement on school discipline to eliminate schoolhouse to jailhouse pipeline. That's important for you to remember. The document that was signed was, quote, to prevent, eliminate schoolhouse to jailhouse pipeline through the program such as PROMISE. And PROMISE stood for Preventing Recidivism Through Opportunities, Mentoring, Intervention, Support, and Education, therefore known as PROMISE. One of the program's participants, Juvenile Court Judge Elijah Williams, speaking at the 2013 signing ceremony for PROMISE, made it very clear that this bill or this agreement was all about stats, STATS. In other words, if you put it in the young blood vernacular, if you got 1,062 arrests on school campuses in Broward County schools, you want to lower those numbers. It's called lowering the stats. And this program is supposed to lower the stats. The collaborative agreement signed by the superintendent of schools and Sheriff Scott Israel, now fully embroiled in his agency's failure to get Cruz off the streets, state attorneys, the president of the Broward chapter of NAACP, and many others, has the fundamental goal of keeping minority students involved in various transgressions away from law enforcement and out of the courts. The article goes on to say, and ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. As a result of that document, major federal funds poured into Broward County schools. It allowed the superintendent of schools to draw a salary of $335,000 a year. On February the 14th, the Parkland school shooting is shedding light on promise. And now some officials in Broward are speaking out about the school district's push to keep police, out of the loop when it comes to crime occurring in the schools in Broward County. So, ladies and gentlemen, that, I believe, is the treasure trove of documented evidence as to the problem in the Broward County schools that allowed this. Keep in mind, if a stand-down order was given, it was because they did not want the stats and the records to show shootings or anything taking place on the campus of Broward County School, because it would jeopardize perhaps some of the major hundreds of thousands of dollars of federal funding that was produced and was formulated by the Obama administration to make the stats change in public school systems. And by the way, as you review that article, it talks about the hundreds of thousands of dollars that flowed in, how the teachers got increasing increases in pay as a result of the federal dollars. And it's all at the dereliction of the responsibility of the sheriff's department to go in and arrest someone that's committing felon, committing a crime, committing murder. And so you're going to have four police officers to stand down with weapons drawn outside the building. So let's make a transition from the role of government and law enforcement and teachers. What about parental responsibility? What is the responsibility of the parents? And that's what I want to focus on for the balance of the broadcast. And ladies and gentlemen, you can call us at 401-1413. You can enter your discussion, your dialogue, as some people call it, the 2 cents were your 2 cents worth. Whatever you'd like to do, you can counter what I'm saying. You can challenge. We're not going to be disagreeable, even though we might disagree. You can enter into the dialogue and discussion, because this is a every time you turn on television, you're talking about, well, we need to have discussion about this whole issue. Yes, we do. And here's where I'm going with the discussion. Let me read you an article by a teacher that was posted. This article was posted on Facebook today. Let me just read you some blurbs from this very well-written article from this teacher. Okay, I'll be the bad guy and say what no one else is brave enough to say, but wants to say. I'm a teacher. I live this life daily and wouldn't do anything else, but also know daily I could end up in the active shooter situation. Until we as a country, this is written by a teacher, until we as a country are willing to get serious and talk about mental health issues. Now, I've got a whole lot to say about that, but this broadcast is not for it. We've already covered the mental health issues and the slippery slope that puts us on if we start saying that every shooter has a mental health problem, and we then encourage law enforcement to somehow incarcerate and or ban the Second Amendment rights of a person that might have taken some antidepressant drug and then rated as mentally ill. Let's go further. This article, this teacher says, lack of availability in the care of this in this issue of mental health, lack of discipline in the home, horrendous lack of parental support when the schools are trying to control horrible behavior at school. Then she has in brackets, oh no, not my kid. What did you do to cause my kid to react that way? Lack of moral values, yes. I'll say it's violent video games also that take away the sensitivity of any compassion for others' lives, as well as reality TV that makes commonplace for the people to constantly scream up in each other's faces and not value any other person but themselves. We will have gun problems in school. Our kids don't understand the permanency of death anymore in our society. This teacher goes on to say, I grew up with guns. Everyone knows that. But you know what? My parents never stopped, never supported any bad behavior from me. I was terrified of doing something bad at school, as I would have not had my life until I corrected the problem and straightened things out. My parents invaded my life. They knew where I was at all times. They made me have a curfew. They made me wake up and let them know when I got home at night. They made me respect their lives. They had full control of their house and at any time could and would go through everything inch by inch in my bedroom, my backpack, my pockets, and anything else. Parents, it's time to step up. Be the parents that actually give any care for what's happening. Be the annoying mom that peers and knows what your kid is doing. Stop being their friend. They have enough friends at school. Be their parents. Bring the cool mom. Being a cool mom means not a thing when either your kid is dead or your kid kills other people because they're allowed to have their space and privacy at home. This teacher goes on to say, I'll say it again. My home was filled with guns growing up. For God's sake, my daddy was an 82nd Airborne Ranger who lost half his face serving our country. But you know what? I never dreamed of shooting anyone with a gun. I never dreamed of taking one. I was taught respect for life, compassion, rules, common decency, and most of all, I was taught that until I moved out, my life, my bedroom wasn't my own. It was theirs. And they were going to know what was happening because they loved me and wanted the best for me, end quote. And the article goes on. Time won't allow the full dialogue of all that the article states. But ladies and gentlemen, that teacher's on target. May I say, one of the major, major problems that we find in society today, the root of our moral ethical declension today begins at home. How is that so? The lack of parental responsibility. Moms and dads wanting to be pals with their children rather than parents. Parents providing all that the child demands. Let me just go over some of this. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're a parent or a grandparent, perhaps you identify with some of the things I'm about to say. You may not like it, but you might identify with it. Parents providing all that the child demands. Oh, I want the name brand shoes. I want the Nike $265 a pair tennis shoes. I want the latest in the iPhone. I want a credit card that's my own that I can charge anything I want to, and mom and dad's going to pay for it. I don't want any set curfew time, so mom and dad, don't you dare tell me what time I can get up, what time I can come back in, and where I can go. Allowing children to view any and all kinds of things on television and video and online. No parental restrictions for morals and ethics, and no requirement for any sharing of home responsibilities. Oh, no, that would be just too tough to ask sons and daughters, the little snowflakes, to do anything that mom and dad says. That's rejected today. If you watch reality television, moms and dads, especially dads, are the dunces. They're the ignoramuses. They're the ones that know nothing, and the children are the ones that know everything. If you don't believe that, watch some of this garbage on television. It's called reality television today. And it points out the fact that moms and dads are simply not with it. They're not in touch. They simply do not have the answers. Ladies and gentlemen, other problems in the home originating from a lack of parental responsibility. No prayer. No Bible reading in the home. In fact, many homes probably couldn't even find the Bible with a CIA search warrant in their home today. No parental involvement in church or spiritual development. This is the reason across America today, ladies and gentlemen, church attendance in America is at its all-time historic low. Yes, it is a parental problem. If you recall me saying something not too long ago in Joshua 24:15, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua didn't get up on Sunday morning and Ms. Joshua and the little Joshuette say, Dad, what are we going to do today? Dad had already made the decision. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to go to church. We're going to be involved in spiritual things as a family and as a home. We don't find that anymore in our homes today. We once had in our academy years ago, we once had a seventh grader who failed English, and our teachers were blamed by the parents. However, when we further traced it down with their previous academic transcripts, found out that in two other schools, that same student had failed English. But all of a sudden, because in the seventh grade with our academy, that child failed English, the parents blasted our teachers and our administration that it was the school's fault, the school's problem. Long after that, a couple, 2-3 years, we had another incident, a seventh grade girl, immorality in the school. We suspended her on 3 different occasions. Finally, we expelled her. The parents blamed the school and the school teachers because, after all, her daughter would not do things like she was accused of by the teacher, validated by other students, validated by the administration, et cetera, et cetera. I've got a fistful of articles here, and I'll not read them all, but here's two or three of them. One of them shows a young lad's picture and says, teen killed mom hours after she was told she could not have a puppy. You recall the Menendez brothers back in the late 90s, 16, 17-year-old brothers. They got angry at their parents because they wanted to use the parents' Mercedes for an outing that evening. The parents said no. They pulled out the shotgun, summarily shot mom and dad, killed both of them, while the mother was pleading for her life in the garage as they blasted one time with one shot from the barrel of the double-barreled shotgun. Here's another article that says, Arden Ferry employees at students, employees accused of stealing thousands of dollars in cash. Here's another article. It says a mom accused of recording sex acts with children and then selling the videos online. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a major, major problem with morals and ethics and values, and it begins in the home. It begins with the parents. It begins with the lack of recognition of what a child can and will do if he is not controlled by the parents with morals and ethics and values. You remember the story, I'm sure. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, it is the story of what I call the runaway son. He got tired, if you want the young blood vernacular of that story. He got tired of parental control. He got tired of dad saying, you got to come in at 10 o'clock at night. He got tired of dad saying, this is what you need to eat. He got tired of dad saying that you need to behave in school. So what did he do? He demanded his part of the inheritance from the family. He left home and wasted all of his substance, all of his income, all of his funds on riotous living, the scripture says, and would fain have filled his stomach with the husk that the swine did eat, the scripture says. That's a low level for a Jewish lad, and that's where he was. And then the scripture says when he came to himself, he reflected back on the good that he had in dad's home, the how well off he was at home. He had clothes to wear, he had shoes to wear, he had food to eat, and he realized then that he had sinned against his parents and against God. And as you know, the rest of the story, he returned home, and the father welcomed him back into the home. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize what the scripture says, and we cannot be disobedient to the scripture and find any solace in where we are in society today. We need to have prayer. There needs to be the seeking of God. There needs to be the recognition, as in 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, our land needs healing, but the healing in our land begins with moms and dads, with parents. You see, the scripture says in Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he shall become old, he will not depart from it. The scripture actually says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, and in the Hebrew text, when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. So as the older the child gets, if there's no training in the formative years, as the child grows older, he's going to go the direction he wants to go, and not the bent, the way, the leaning, the direction that God would have him to go. Then their parents would say, well, you know, I was forced to go to church and school to worship and read the Bible and pray. I'm not going to make my family or my child do that. Well, there's a problem with that. It's called the lack of discipline in the home. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 22:15, very, very clear, foolishness, if you want to put it in the clear, simple, perverseness, silliness, folly, evil, rebellion, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The scripture says very, very clearly that it's the parental responsibility to train a child. It's parental responsibility to discipline a child and to direct that child. And part of that discipline and direction is that of teaching the Word of God. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and 4th verse and following, and it's spoken to Israel, but it's in application for us today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Listen to verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy home, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou sittest, liest down, and when thou risest up. That is, there should be the constant, continual teaching of the sons and daughters in our home, the Word of God. I know that's a unique saying today. I know it's an obscure thing today. I realize it's out of character and conduct with society today that believes there's no such thing as God. I understand it's out of the sense of reason with many parents today that believe that somehow, some way, a parent ought not to spank a child, that a parent ought not to discipline a child, that a parent ought not to say anything what a child should or should not do. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it is a parental responsibility. And the subject of our dialogue today, as you recall my announcing, the real story of the Florida school shooting, the real story or the backstory, or what is the cause? Ladies and gentlemen, may I say very succinctly, the root cause of the problem so often in society today is as a result of a failure and refusal on the part of parents to do anything about a wild child. And he's brought up wild, and he is allowed to have open free range, if you will, and do as he pleases. Here's an article that I'll just read an excerpt from. Some Stockton students become violent during anti-gun protest. Students at several school protesting gun violence in wake of the Florida school shooting. The article reads, at least five students were arrested Friday as hundreds of other students from several Stockton high schools walked out of classes in protest of gun violence after last week's deadly shooting at a Florida high school. Listen very carefully. These students just determined, we're just going to walk out of class. We're not going to stay in the classroom. Where do they get the boldness and the brashness and the thinking that they can do that? Where's the school's responsibility to make sure that they stay on campus and not let them leave? Where are the parents' responsibility to say to those sons and daughters, you can't just buck out of school. You just can't bounce out and get on the streets and cause riots. The article goes on to talk about five arrests were made, including charges of battery on an officer, resisting arrest, taking an officer's baton, and vandalizing vehicles, including police vehicles. This is all street riots by juveniles on the streets in Stockton, California, on the basis, supposedly, that they are protesting the gun violence in Florida in the school shooting. Well, what are they doing but acting out exactly what was done by Nicholas Cruz that killed 17 people because he was angry at the school because they expelled him 2 years earlier? We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, what is the answer to this problem? Prayer and seeking God. Parents that are willing to train the child. Parents that are willing to discipline the child. Parents that are willing to set the example in the home. Colossians 3 tells us, verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying we have a parental problem in America today that allows it to decline into the position where we find the school shootings and the attitude from sheriffs and for leadership in Broward County that says we're going to simply change the statistics and not allow any of this to look bad on our schools and therefore let a radical killer run loose and kill 17 people. We need to allow Christian clubs in our campuses. We need to have prayer and Bible in our classes. We need to stop the destruction of our school system that also includes Bible teaching and Bible reading and prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. We're looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.